Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. What's a myth? What's something people think is true that you know based on your personal experience is not?
This is, okay, so this weekend, okay, so I would say this myth is that you should talk about things that upset you in a public place. But I think this is true. I was with a friend from college this weekend. We went to Denny's, and I was talking about...
The most public of places.
Yes. The most public. We were fully in the Atwater Denny's, getting into the thick of it.
Right.
Hadn't caught up in a while. And we, like, got on to this, like, I was basically just, like, talking with her about one of the worst things that had ever happened to me. And it was, like, kind of an emotional conversation. And we were talking and drinking coffee. And then all of a sudden, Who Let the Dogs Out came on full blast in the restaurant.
That's amazing.
And we just, like, looked at each other like, we have to stop talking. Right. This conversation is over.
It's inappropriate with this music on.
And I was like, I think I'm actually over it now. talk about your past traumas in Denny's, I think is my
Tealing.
Recommendation.
Okay.
Yeah, because their radio is wild.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to have that be a preloaded sound drop we do when people start getting really in, like, dark shit. Then suddenly we Nick, hit it. Who let the dogs out? Guys, I was just talking about my... anyway.
You're like, I was talking about how my father left. Right. And they're just like,
who let your dad out? All right. Okay. We should have remixed it.
By the way, the guy who wrote that song credits the 48 Laws of Power for giving him the inspiration.
I'd be surprised because nearly everybody in hip-hop, including Kanye and Jay-Z, Drake, everybody.
Now, I want to talk about this sort of narrative of Trump being on a winning streak. People are saying that his popularity is surging because it's up, I think, 2 percentage points into the low 40s, which is good for him.
Hey, low 40s are
the 30s for so long.
Are the new high 60s,
are the new
baby.
60s. Exactly.
I do want to talk about something that I think is powering this. I don't want to get into that narrative of Trump is great at his job. I do think that there's a way in which he sucks at his job that is actually making it possible for him to have those wins. And that is just complete and utter shamelessness. And the thing that crystallized this for me was the North Korea meeting and the sending of the letter, and where he came out strong. The meeting wasn't happening. We're calling it off because you've mistreated us. And then immediately was willing to completely backtrack on that, which seems weird, but I also think it's worth noting that there's not a single president we've ever had, I don't think, who would be shameless enough to do that, to
right.
just, you know, be like that inconsistent.
Put your foot down and be like, okay.
Yeah.
Like
just there's no logic, there's no reasoning, there's nothing, there's no idea that he has to be this solid leader. He's just
solid
whatever
leader.
At the moment grabs
yeah.
him.
It's like playing out like an iMessages thread between him and Kim Jong-un.
Right, exactly.
Like, fuck you, don't come. I don't want to see your ass. He's like, I'm sorry, baby. Okay, well then, June 12th?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and this could go either way. Like, yeah, it's like a relationship between two like 19-year-olds.
Yeah.
Who are,
and maybe that's why it works.
It's reality television.
If anything, I feel like this, the only possible positive spin on this is that the people around Trump are getting better at leveraging his weaknesses
right.
to make something good
right,
happen.
Right.
It has nothing to do with him as an individual. He's
no,
still
right.
a fucking loser.
Right, for sure.
But I don't know. Do you think, can you call the North Korea summit a win at all at any point? Because
yeah.
I honestly, North Korea wins a lot more just by even getting this summit than we do.
Yeah.
You know, sure, maybe three prisoners were like released, but aside from that, like, you know, there's a lot that North Korea gains, especially Kim Jong-un gains in the propaganda wars, that he has not been able to be seen legitimately, like, you know, by other powers because he hasn't met with, like, real world leaders because
right.
they won't do it. And for him to get this opportunity, like, yo, that picture's going to be on, like, on fucking T-shirts already. Like, they love the envelope that he was holding when, like, the ex-spy chief of North Korea came to hand deliver that letter to Trump over the weekend.
What a weird photograph.
Yeah.
It looked like it was photoshopped to make the envelope huge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. His hand's tiny.
His face
in
was
a
very
way that's, that could be genius trolling from North Korea too. They're like, yo, get the biggest fucking envelope you can get. There's... and then get the photo of him holding it so it right. looks his hands look wild.
It's very uncanny valley. There's right. a Polar Express quality to yeah, that.
It really looks like it could have been designed by your guy from who designed the Chuck E. Cheese. Like he could be in the Hall of Presidents.
Shout
like,
out Fector.
Yeah. That's a fair point. And a lot of this sort of surging and, you know, Trump being seen in a slightly more favorable light could easily just be that the mainstream media narrative of, holy shit, this guy is constantly fucking up and such a total fuck up has just become exhausting. We knew that was going to happen eventually, that the mainstream media was going to be like, nobody wants to hear about him screwing up anymore. People
right.
people are in the mood for optimism.
So we're
going
to pretend? Oh, like yeah. he totally fucked up and so good that we're in a war. I don't know how at that point what you do. I mean,
right.
you got to keep the pressure on him and people have to remember how bad he is because for exactly the reason that people become like apathy will set in. And then this will become totally normal. And next thing you know, we have even more white supremacist Nazi fucking candidates running right. for office. And people want to put them on CNN. Like, yeah let's hear this guy out. He says African-Americans have IQs 20 points lower. Get the fuck out. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I guess
keep the pressure up.
My only thought with the North Korea thing is that the difference between now and in the past is that they do have intercontinental ballistic missiles that can potentially reach America now. And I think... other presidents may have been more in keeping with general military strategies of like being hardline and maybe not meeting with him. And he's just so fucking thirsty for a win and right. shameless that he will call off the meeting and then be like, no, I never called off the meeting. You called off the meeting. You're an idiot. You're lying. Moving on. And another shameless thing that he's doing that I definitely don't think is seen as a win, but it just is another example of just staggering shamelessness is he and his lawyers are laying the groundwork for him to pardon himself.
It's crazy, though, too. Like, they're like, well, he is the embodiment of the law. Therefore, he cannot obstruct it to be. It's really.
And you know that's going to be like an event.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When
yeah.
he pardons himself. I hope he pardons himself as if he is a turkey.
On Thanksgiving,
just holds a smaller version of himself, yeah. and he's like, "It's okay."
Or like normally when he pardons a turkey, he's like, "And today I will pardon myself, President Donald Trump." Right. Ha ha ha! I am God.
Yeah, yes. But so it's if we approach it like the turkey, it's like, okay, we pardon you, but it's still okay for you to be killed and eaten for dead.
Right. Right.
This way they talk about like their logic about him basically saying, well, I can't obstruct because I am the law, is saying, quote, the Constitution leaves no question that the president has executive authority over the ultimate conduct and disposition of all criminal investigations and over those executive branch officials responsible for conducting those investigations. Thus, as set forth more fully below, as a matter of law and common sense, the president cannot obstruct himself or subordinates acting on his behalf. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of the shamelessness is just him knowing that he has a portion of the population that will support him no matter what because racism.
Yeah. Well, also people who are like, the fucking Constitution, man, the Constitution. Yeah, if you read that shit, you would understand that this is basically the antithesis of what the people were trying to do when they wrote the Constitution.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, and also just laws of human society, like the Pope can't even pardon himself, no kings, like so many throughout the history of the world, so many kings have been deposed and like beheaded and,
right.
You know, that's just not a thing you ever give even people with absolute authority the power to do. Like you can't just be like, and I hereby treat myself as the convict in question and give myself an excuse. It just doesn't.
This is just like more high level trolling. Like what?
That and just, it shows you, I mean, it's heating up. This is clearly, you don't have to start talking like this. You know, you're trying to inoculate your base into being like, hey, I'm just letting y'all know when I do this and people act like I can't do it. You can point to this letter saying why I pardoned myself because things look increasingly more and more difficult for him.
Sounds like democracy to me.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, yeah, I think, and many people, like, people have always said throughout this whole thing, none of his actions are the actions of an innocent person. And I don't think anyone has any question that there's some kind of shit went down. We don't know to what extent, but this just smacks of just guilt and whatever you have to avoid responsibility.
If you had any self-awareness about whether or gave a shit whether you appeared guilty or innocent, you would not even broach the subject of pardoning yourself. Mm. Weirdly, Giuliani on the Sunday shows yesterday was like, and he would probably be immediately impeached, so we're not even raising the issue of that. But he could. But he could if he wanted.
That's
if he
so
wanted
funny.
Just like randomly.
He's still trying to like play the reason card where it's like, of course he wouldn't, because that would upend the Constitution, a full-blown constitutional crisis.
But he could if he wanted to.
But he could if he wanted
like...
to.
Do you guys think, you said high-level trolling. I had this specific thought when I was listening to you guys last week talk about the Melania thing. Do you think there's anyone in that organization who is sort of programming the mainstream media and social media to focus on these other like stupid bullshit problems? And because the Melania thing is so weird and so specific, like that she's not appearing in the media. And then they put out that statement where it was clearly written by Trump and it was almost intentionally, seems like it could have been intentionally suspicious. Mm. Do you think there's any chance that they're just doing this to, you know, force the opposition to burn calories?
I don't know.
I think that there's something to that. I don't know. It's hard to think too hard about that without going down like a conspiracy rabbit hole.
Right.
But I mean, most White House, but like this White House in particular is definitely good at the misdirect of being like, hey, like, and they don't mind because Trump is such a fucking idiot. Like, they don't mind selling him out and making him look like an idiot to distract from something actually sinister that is happening.
Right.
Yeah, but also just the Melania thing just sort of played out in a very organic way. It's like we haven't seen her in a long time. Like,
I think they're straight up plagiarizing Shelley Miscavige. They're just like they're like, yo, this turned some heads back in the day. Maybe we could do a hot.
In my mind, I really just think she is like burning out. Trying to like deal with all that shit. I don't know. I feel like there's also a version where she just was like, Melania, will you come out to this? And he's like, no.
Right.
Not going anywhere
I
anymore.
Cannot today.
Yeah. And then it's just sort of like after like weeks, you're like, damn, she hasn't showed up anywhere. And then people start speculating and then there's response. I don't know if they're like, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to stay in the shadows. You're going to be in the cut for 5 weeks. And then people are going to be like, where's Melania? And then we can use that to cause a distraction.
Yeah.
I think there's so many other ways.
Rolling around in a disguise, like when Bono got into that bike accident and they found out that Bono travels around New York dressed as a rabbi. Do you remember that story?
Wait, no, what?
He got into like a near fatal biking accident and they were like, weird, this rabbi who got in this biking accident as they were putting him in the ambulance has a fake beard on and this is a disguise, and they pulled it off and it was Bono from U2.
Oh my
god. And he was like, yeah, this is how I get around like without being mobbed by people.
He's like, yeah, where are you staying? On Broadway and East Catarse Street.
Trump has decided to disinvite the Eagles to the White House because, as the video package on Fox News showed, the Eagles all were kneeling during the anthem. So they're social justice warrior, non-patriot.
Yeah, get out of here.
That was a video of them actually kneeling in prayer.
Yeah, or players from the season before who don't even play on the team anymore.
Right, and there are no players on the team currently who kneeled during the anthem, but basically a couple of them had said they aren't interested in visiting the White House because mm-hmm. they disagree with the Trump administration on everything.
Yeah, and that's what was funny about it is that they're like, because they want to kneel. And it's like, no, yeah. They're a lot more than that, buddy.
Yeah, you just got nah-fammed. Yeah. And you're like, well, hurry up, outrage, some kind of fake outrage. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's... really, Trump's number one move is, you know, dump them before they dump you.
Yeah.
That's what he did with Kim Jong-un.
Yep.
That's what he's doing with the Eagles.
Maybe he hopes it's going to work.
Right. Yeah. Maybe it's going to, like, come back and he's going to be like, he thinks the Eagles are going to be like, we're sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
And he'll be like, okay, you can come
all
to
right,
my house.
Tussle my hair.
Yeah.
It's just so disingenuous. And, like, when Fox put that package together, like, and people just called them out immediately, they'd come back and be like, oh, that was a mistake. But clearly,
not a mistake.
They were crafting together as much images to try and create this narrative that was just total bullshit.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild that just how much misinformation is just being put out and
right.
just blatantly, and then trying to just walk it back by, like, oh, this was a mistake. Like, no, normally journalists get fired for stuff like that.
Yeah, well, not again, this is different. We'll see. I mean, it's funny because I don't think this is going to be the only team not going to the White House because, as LeBron James said, he said, no matter who wins the finals, ain't nobody really wants to go to the White House, so don't worry about us.
Yeah. And then Steve Kerr came out and was like, yeah, maybe things will return to normal in 3 years.
That is optimistic.
It's also interesting that they mistook people kneeling in prayer for people kneeling during the anthem because those are equally conspicuous on-field displays of, you know, personal belief and, you know, taking a political stance. But everybody's really okay with, especially people on the right are okay with kneeling in prayer. And in fact, probably it makes them like the players better when they kneel in prayer.
100%. Remember how people love Tebow, no matter how bad he sucked, and they really tried to keep him in the league no matter how bad he sucked? And then the black guy tried kneeling, and no matter how good he was, they could not put him on a team.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. We were speculating what that number looked like of how many players, like what that threshold was for to activate petty Trump.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Less than 10 players from the Eagles said that they didn't want to go. And that was too much of a slight.
Plenty. Yeah,
for
that's
president impotence.
Jeff Bezos called a meeting around the holidays. This is common. He has like daily meetings that they refer to as like the war room. I don't know where they came up with that. That's brilliant. So he takes customer service very seriously. Just for context, the way that he reads every email that comes to him. He still, if you want to email Jeff Bezos, you can. Jeff@Amazon.com, and he will read your email. He reads everything because he's like a actual supercomputer.
We will get him to acknowledge.
Yeah, we're gonna troll him.
Yeah. Have you emailed him?
I'm gonna start.
We just found this out today, and that is going to be at least 50% of our time.
I'm
from
like,
this
you look
point
weak,
forward.
Homie. Pull up. I'm in North Hollywood.
But then he will forward emails that are critical of products or services that Amazon provides to the person in charge of that with just a question mark. And
that's got to be
just
so
such a fucking power
stressful.
Play. So I've also heard from people who were considering jobs at Amazon, and they, you know, talked to other people who worked at Amazon. And these are people to work at Amazon. You have to have a lot of success and, like, you know, have had a career up to that point. You have to have been a successful business person. And they said that people regularly cry in the office, like just regularly get broken
in the office,
down.
Not like in the warehouse? Because I know the warehouse is like a whole other scenario.
So that is bad.
Workplace
No, those
shit.
People cry because they just don't get breaks.
Right.
But
the executives?
The executives regularly are broken down into tears. But just a great illustration of what that looks like. So during an executive meeting around the holidays, he had gotten maybe a couple emails in his inbox about their slow customer service time and how long it takes when somebody calls in to get somebody to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And the VP of customer service was like, look, we are, according to my reports, down to under a minute. I don't know what you're talking about, Jeff Bezos. And he was like, oh, really? Let's see. And he called Amazon customer service, put it on speakerphone in this meeting, and just waited and made just intense eye contact with everybody in the room as it stretched on for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. By 4 minutes, it might as well have been like a year and a half.
Right,
because everyone
right.
was just like had sweat all of the water in their body out. And then the person finally answered the phone and was like, can I help you? And he was like, nah, and hung up the phone. So that VP apparently resigned less than a year later, and that's the sort of fucking no bullshit craziness that it takes to run Amazon.
Also, my guy, don't lie if something can be so easily verified.
Right.
You're like, yeah, we're down to under a minute.
Yeah.
Really, okay. Motherfucker?
Well, maybe that's kind of a thing that's not able to be measured because, yeah, I bet that's their record time. But, you know, what if he called it like a high volume time? Like, what are you saying? Just at this point, you're saying, I need customer service people just standing on deck, not doing anything, waiting.
Right.
For the moment, you know, that someone calls. And at that point, you're just kind of throwing away money.
Right.
Like, that's someone's decision to go, we can't just.
That's a really good
money,
point.
You know,
you can't make broad decisions about you know, customer service. But I mean, the way that Amazon runs their business is they will just spend and spend and spend until they have the best possible product, the best, you know, solution to a problem, mm-hmm. and not worry about, you know, cutting costs or whatever. That's why they, you know, were never profitable.
But that's not a business practice that anyone has, is just to have your on deck customer service reps just hanging out reading a magazine
throw endless amounts of money away at something like customer service. They're like,
no one does that.
You're taking a huge hit in customer. I mean, customer service is great, but we're losing $3 million a year because you just have people sleeping in there.
That's what customer service is. It's you call, you have to wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the longest you've waited for any kind of customer service?
I have had experiences where I've had to like go do a meeting while like I have my headphones on listening to the customer service call, and then like the person picks up and like it was like an hour and a half.
Right.
Picks up and hangs up before I can like get out of the meeting.
Oh my.
And I forget what I was waiting for, but it was infuriating.
Sounds like a cool
probably
stand-up
the DMV.
Bit.
Yeah. And the only reason I bring this up on today's episode is because this is who our president is picking a fight with. And I would hate this guy for in all other scenarios, but we live in a Trump v. Bezos world, or we might be living in a Trump v. Bezos world.
And, what did he do? What's happened now?
Well, no, just Trump has shown just hostility toward Amazon because
or
I
the
think,
Washington Post,
yeah, and the Washington Post,
right?
Because of the Washington Post, and also because Amazon puts a lot of brick and mortar businesses out of business. And Trump's background is in real estate, so he, you know, is constantly
Trump's
talking
background
shit
is in
about,
failed businesses,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, and that's the other thing is that they are polar opposites in the sense that Jeff Bezos runs one business and has become the richest person in the history of the world. And, you know, has just made that business incredibly successful, whereas Trump has run many businesses and fucked them all up.
It's
so
not that rich.
They're opposites in that respect.
Not that rich a dude.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Did you guys ever do a deep dive on that in any of the shows that you wrote for?
We did many deep dives on
And that. Did he call and, like, threaten to sue?
Oh, you know, no. Okay. No. I was thinking maybe something weird happened, but no. Yeah. There was, we did a lot of Trump at Last Week Tonight.
Yes.
And, I mean, I left right after, the election was 2016, right?
Yeah.
Time just is not linear to me. It's all blending together. Yeah, so I left, that was my last season, and then they continued to
to
really go in on him because, you know, how can you not?
No, that is definitely true.
But it's hard to... It's just a nightmare to have to, like, all through the election when we were working on stuff, you know, it became more and more Trump and it became more and more depressing. And it's very hard to sort of do that.
We've pushed through to the other side where we're just insane and don't even know what's real anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
We honestly believe we're in the Matrix. Yeah.
That's the only way I can deal with it.
Joking,
yeah.
But yeah. We
I was rattled to my core when you tried to explain deja vu because I need it to be in the Matrix. I need this shit to be the Matrix.
Sorry. Ooh. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. All right, guys. The primaries were yesterday. It was the Super Tuesday of the primary season. And yeah, the Democrats avoided disaster in California. You know, the parties seemed to, I don't know, prove that they can still swing it around a little bit. Nate Silver's analysis was that, a lot of the chosen candidates by the major parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, were the ones who ended up winning. And the disaster scenario that Democrats had been worried about in California, which was that because California is called a jungle primary, it's essentially the top two candidates, no matter what party they're from in the election, the top two vote-getting candidates just end up running against each other. It doesn't matter if it's two Republicans, two Democrats. And in a lot of these districts, because there was so much, you know, energy behind Democrats at this time, there were too many Democrats running against each other. And it came down to the wire in a lot of cases. And in some cases, it's still a possibility that it'll be two Republicans.
There's some that are pretty close, but
really,
it looks
really close. But it looks like they kind of made it through by the skin of their teeth. So the Democrats are still alive in a lot of the races that they need to be alive in.
You're saying
all of them.
There's too many Democrats. That's what we're.
So there were too many Democrats running against each other, and they were splitting the votes.
That's
yeah.
Jesus Christ. When are we going to get it together?
Right. So in some cases they managed to get like the people who weren't going to make it through mm-hmm. to drop out, and you know those people still were on the ballot, and they still got some of the votes, but they didn't get enough to you know. Siphon off votes from the people who were actually threatening to make it through and be one of the top two candidates.
Well, here's what I want to know. Who among us voted for the puppeteer?
For the puppeteer?
For governor.
Gavin Newsom?
No.
If there was a candidate.
He's not the, never mind.
Which, who's the puppeteer?
There was one person, I think, at the top of
the
ballot.
Oh, you mean the guy who's the literal fucking puppeteer?
Yes.
No, I know what you're talking about now.
I saw
we
that and I was
jokes.
Like, I mean, there was, my hand just kind of went to his name. And I was like, don't you do it. Don't you do it. How fun would that be?
Having just a puppeteer?
Yeah, just a, you know, proscenium. He's just working out of there the whole time.
Then there's that guy, Peter Liu, who had the weird hat on, who was like making a bunch of videos. Anyway, there were a lot of interesting people yeah. who were running for governor. But that's the thing with California. So many weird people have ran for governor.
Is that a thing that always happens? We get like 27 people running?
Yeah, I remember when like after Gray Davis when it was, you know, left office.
Was recalled, right?
Yeah. All the people that like ran like Mary Carey, the adult film star, and like
yeah,
all kinds. It was like a
her.
Circus. And then yeah. it ended up being Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right. Yep. People saw that Schwarzenegger was running and they were like, well, fuck it. I guess yeah. I can do
fun.
This too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the California State Senate, it looks like it's actually going to be two Democrats. It's going to be Feinstein and Kevin De Leon, who is sort of a further left Democrat.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
the speculation is that might depress Republican turnout because most people go to the polls to vote for the top of the ticket. Races. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's the big race. And if Republicans don't have a candidate to vote for, that's going to make fewer of them want to come out. But the other big statewide election was the gubernatorial race. And it was speculated that Villaraigosa, the former mayor of Los Angeles, might make it through to second and make that one also two Democrats, in which case the Democrats really would have been in business, but that did not come to pass. Villaraigosa was a distant third.
Despite spending many monies.
Yeah, many monies. And the Republicans came through with a guy named John Cox, who was the choice of the RNC, despite the fact that he appears to be a, and I think I have this right, a fucking loser.
Wow.
that was the research done by super producer Sophie Lichterman. But that
really doubled down on the loser.
Really
part.
Doubled down
loser.
On it. She was
yeah,
like, make sure you say that he
loser.
Is a fucking loser.
And not even like that he's like, you know, lame. He hangs out with the weird emo kids.
He
like,
just loses a lot.
He does not have a record of winning.
Yeah. Mm. He's run a lot of Illinois political campaigns. He's from Illinois. He lost in the Republican primary race to be a congressperson from Illinois in the 10th congressional district. He lost a lot in Illinois. Ran to be president in 2008, lost before anyone had even heard that he was running to be president.
Wow.
Then he, you know, went.
He ran for president?
Yes. He ran for president. Was
wait, and what's he running for
now? He wants to be governor.
Now he wants to be governor.
He was running for governor.
So just wait, because he was so humbled by his failed presidential bid that he next ran for neighborhood legislature and lost. So he has not done very well in electoral politics up to this point, but he endorsed Trump. Trump endorsed him, and so he is now running against Gavin Newsom, who, again, a hunk. We were talking about a lot of hunkage mm-hmm. on this episode. But, yeah, so we'll see.
California's having some Newsom.
Yeah.
Right? These are some of the jokes I'm telling.
Stay tuned for more. But, yeah, no, I think, well, the neighborhood legislature thing was a ballot initiative.
Okay.
It wasn't him running for a thing.
Okay. But the thing that he put on the ballot.
Yeah,
they
he tried
lost.
To get it on there four times, I think.
Yes.
And it didn't happen.
When do you just give up? You know,
you don't. But I think
you
when
don't. You just keep going until you become the candidate for governor, I guess.
Does he have hobbies? I mean, he must. He needs to get in something else that's.
I don't know.
Probably
losing,
wearing him down.
Know? I don't know what else, what he does. He looks like a guy who just kind of like sleeps sitting upright in like a room. Ooh. Like it doesn't seem. I don't see much beyond his his visage.
Huh.
Hey, speaking of hip hop and Kanye, he released an album last week. Let's get into what people are thinking and talking about right now. And the Kanye album, I think you guys touched on a little bit on Friday. We've had a weekend to listen to it. And I think, I don't know, my overall takeaway is that it's very uneven and probably the worst thing he's ever done. But it also has really high highs, like a lot of his projects do. I really like the first song. The second and third are solid. I really like Ghost Town. The song to his daughter about like how he doesn't want her to be hot is the worst thing he's ever done. It's like the rap version of one of those Matt Damon quotes that starts out, as a father of daughters, I understand, crossed with one of those purity ball events in the South where daughters promise their chastity to their fathers, which is...
Is that the thing? Like, it almost looks like a wedding ceremony,
it is,
right?
Yeah.
Like, the father and daughter, like proclaim to each
weird.
Other
that's how bad the song is. It reminded me of that, and then I just went on a deep dive on like Wikipedia on the chastity ball and or purity ball rather. It's really like it's reality's version of American Pie, in that it seems like it's from 5 generations ago, but it was fairly recent.
Oh really?
Yeah
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
What did you find in your
deep dive?
Of the...
Bring us down the Wikipedia hole.
What do you mean about the purity ball?
There's just this incredible article.
Not a Pokeball.
Where it's like, you know, this gray-haired guy sitting next to, they just describe her as like a woman in a floor-length gown with her hair in an updo. It like seems like a wedding for all intents and purposes. He pulls out a ring and like shows it to her and she starts crying.
Yeah, have you never seen
and
these
then,
videos?
Yeah. Oh, and then they're like, yeah, and that daughter is 17 years old. And that is his daughter. And they dance together and it's all sorts of weird and like awkwardly romantic in a way that, I don't know, it's just totally unself-conscious about how creepy it is.
Right, because they're just claiming protectorship over their daughter's body.
Yeah, and it also has the sort of the war of art vibe where it's like they declare war on things that shouldn't be possible to declare war on. There's a quote from this article. Pastor Randy Wilson takes the microphone and asks the men, "Are you ready to war for your daughter's purity?"
You ready to kill for your daughter's hymen?
Yeah.
You're like, never mind that she probably broke it on a bike seat when she was younger.
That's a lie. If she says that, it's a lie. You find the man, you kill him.
The purity ball guidelines suggest that the daughters be just old enough to have begun menstruating. Cool. Something that everyone should.
Well, yeah, because those Kanye lyrics really are kind of like, whoa, man, now that I think about my own daughter, like,
yeah,
men do some gross stuff. And then like other songs are like about him fucking other people besides his wife. And you're like, huh?
We should just do a universal like kibosh on men being allowed to be like, oh, as a father of daughters, I understand women.
Right.
Like, I was on the phone with my dad the other night and we were sparring about Sam B using the C word.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was like, I don't know. I mean, as your father, I think that it's a pretty vile word. And then in the middle, he's like, oh, my teeth fell out. I was like, your opinion is invalid on this matter. Your teeth literally fell out while you were saying, I don't think people should use the C word.
Click, 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 click.
Click, click, click,
click, click, click, click, click.
There is something about that because Rudy Giuliani, his teeth always seem on the verge of falling out. I feel like there's something about conservative politics and like your teeth just wanting to escape from your head.
I don't know.
My dad loses his teeth everywhere. It's very funny.
Isn't it a hockey thing?
It is a hockey thing to lose your teeth.
Right. But your dad wasn't a hockey
player. My dad doesn't play hockey. He just reports about about it, which shouldn't. So yeah, it's on him. But the other day, he's like, you know, I lost my teeth, and they were on top of my Elvis Costello CD collection. It's
like, which stacks so high that you can't see it without a ladder.
Most dad shit ever.
Love it.
All right, back to Kanye. So apparently, the album was created. Like, fully, none of these songs existed before that TMZ interview.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
And
that's according to people who have reported on the process. It was all, like, put together very quickly, which the thing that used to separate his work from a lot of other people's work is what a perfectionist he is. And this sounds rushed and not that well thought through. And even the Pusha T album that he produced, like, sounded, it was seven tracks that you got the sense it was like they took the seven best tracks from like a collection of 15 and we're just making it all killer, no filler. Whereas this just seems like the first seven tracks of a bad Kanye album or something.
It's very first drafty. Yeah.
You know, we knew something was wrong with him.
Yes.
Based on his public appearances over the last couple months. And the album just kind of further shows that he's not in the best place, especially to be creating. And he's still saying the dumbest shit out loud on record. And I've never come at the guy's music. But this is like one of the first times I really feel sort of a little bummed for him as a creator. I'm like, damn, you really just, this sounds so all over the place. The first song I actually really like a lot. But it goes all over the place from, like, silently being like, I thought about killing you.
You were saying earlier
that, like a dude on the bus or something saying some crazy shit like, I thought about killing you, premeditated murder. And you're like, oh, God, damn. Call CPS, because also, who the fuck is he talking about when he's like, I thought about killing you? Best believe that.
I think that's been speculated. I assumed it was Kim, but...
I've heard stuff like that said on the bus to the Glendale Galleria before.
You never want to start off with something about, I thought about premeditated murder into, like, impromptu humming.
Right.
But that song, like, it feels like two songs that could have been good and then just were kind of all over the place because then suddenly he's like... Yeah, like I've been in some bad places using the floor as ashtray. And he's like, it's a different set of rules that we obey. You're like, whoa, this is the same song? Okay.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, it's one of those things I'll maybe can only listen to like three of the songs on there. But
I don't know.
I feel like he had a chance to maybe do something slightly redeemable off the back of all that dumb shit that he said. And then he really does nothing to address that. Even when he talks about the slavery was a choice thing, it's just sort of like, yo, I told Kim she could have left, but she didn't, so she's loyal.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's like the worst thing he could have done. It just kind of is just like a weird, like lateral. Yeah.
It's a nothing.
I
just want to shout out all my bipolar heads again, because I don't know, like he makes a big deal about his mental illness on this album. That's mostly what it's about, and you can sort of like hear that thought process. And I don't know, it's weird to hear someone in the thick of it making, you know, releasing their first draft, basically.
Right.
I'm interested in how that like affects the mental health conversation, if at all. But more than anything, it's like the way you see people responding to this album who were like 2 weeks ago, they were like, he's dead to me. Mm-hmm. No, he's canceled. He's done. Now they're like, track two is actually pretty good.
No, I'm guilty of that to an extent.
That's my jackpot program.
I mean, my beefs with him have always been about his politics or what he does with his celebrity, basically.
Yeah.
Because I always said that even the thick of his dumb fuckery is that like it. That's why I was so upset, because he has made like an album that I feel is one of the better hip hop albums that's ever been made, and
Jesus.
So. No, fuck Yeezus. That is a fucking trash pile.
I like Yeezus, but Miles hates Yeezus.
Yeah, and again, but it's one of those things, too, where it shows how invested people can be when they're like, well, but I also got to find out. But at the end of the day, this just further underlines how little he knows about his own place or the world or whatever, because it comes off so odd and like just tone deaf in spots that I'm just was really like, ugh. That's why, to me, it was just kind of like, I don't know, a lot of people on Twitter are like, yo, this is the greatest album, or other people are like, this is the greatest, this is the worst fucking album, fuck you, and people were like getting upset over it. To me, I'm just sort of like, he made this album in a week, and he literally got flamed on TMZ, and his response is this, and it sounds like just sort of like this impulsive thing that he did. So I don't know, is he going to want to count this as one of his albums?
Yeah, and I mean, none of the seven songs apparently existed back when he... gave himself this self-imposed deadline to release the album last week. And then apparently he told Charlemagne in an interview that he completely reworked the songs after that TMZ slavery was a choice thing.
Wow. So not only was like last minute album, like last minute do your homework.
Right, just thrown together.
Yeah, all right. Well, sounds like that.
There's this one point he makes where he refers to himself in the third person, and then from that transitions into being able to like see outside of himself and therefore being bipolar as a superpower, which I do think that he...
I didn't take it like that.
You didn't take that?
I didn't know if it was that he was seeing outside of himself. It was just sort of like, I think he called out his own narcissism in a way.
Right.
Like he was clearly like, maybe someone in therapy was like, you see how you tend to do third person, your narcissism?
Right.
Because he's like, yeah, blah. I was like, see, that's that third person. He's like, wait, I heard, that's my bipolar shit. I'm a fucking superhero. And you're like,
that's me trying to track his thought process, which probably doesn't make sense.
I mean, what do you think of him thinking, looking at his bipolar disorder as a superpower?
I don't speak on behalf of...
No, I mean, just personally, how does that strike you? I mean...
It just seems a little bit, like, off, and that makes sense if you're in the middle of a bipolar manic episode that you would see things off. That's, like, what they're characterized by. But I don't know. I just... It bums me out a little bit that this is, like... Well, he's acting this way because he's bipolar. He's acting. It just, I think, kind of oversimplifies a more complicated illness, and basically just characterizes anyone who does have bipolar disease as like someone who's completely unhinged and can, and just using the bipolar to justify stuff he says in the media of like, yo, being bipolar has never made me think that slavery was a choice. Right, like there's other stuff at play and there's like more context, and the fact that it's being boiled down to like, well, he's going through a bipolar manic episode. That seems like it's true, but there's also like other stuff going on.
Yeah, much more complex.
On. Yes.
Clearly.
And just from a public persona perspective, it seems like the parts of him that have always like kind of captured people who don't care about his arts attention, like his sort of rambling, you know, jumping on stage at award shows and just basically, you know, toxic narcissism, like that person is eating like the creator on this album. You can almost hear that happening.
Yeah. And I think the lack of like, at least I haven't looked at all the credits, but it seems like not many people were helping him with the songwriting part. And that's always like a mark of most of his albums.
Yeah. I mean, anything that's that rushed is going to be hard to.
Not like this second rate podcast.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's right. All right.
We still bring the heat.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. Brisbane, as I've been told you're supposed to pronounce it, has caught a serial criminal, Poo Jogger. And he has been outed as corporate high flyer Andrew Douglas McIntosh.
Yeah.
It's like one of those spy movies or, you know, where the bad guy turns out to be, you know, the mayor. This guy was like a big time dude.
I guess, he worked for like the retirement home company Aveo. Or they do some kind of retirement village stuff. But what's great is that like people in this area, this Green Slopes apartment complex, they were just getting sick and tired of this. Clearly somebody just taking a shit on the path. And
they were sick of his shit.
Yeah, the couple residents teamed up, you know, Harriet the Spy style, and like deployed all kinds of little technology. Like at first they were using a night vision camera with motion sensors. It's like meant for like nature photography of like elusive nocturnal creatures to first kind of get some, you know, to build a timeline and get some blurry images to feel like, okay, we're starting to see when this is happening and the direction the person is moving. And then from there, just did some process of elimination. And then one of the dudes just was there with his camera waiting for the moment because he knew the spot and got his picture. And this photo of this man being caught in the act is it's like what dreams are made of in terms of catching people poo-handed.
Yes.
It's really something. Also, if you zoom out, like the picture in the New York Post is a wide version and the poo is like watery.
Yeah.
It's like a pile of, it's not even like.
It's a puddle.
Yeah, it's not even like emoji poop. It's like,
oh yeah, like
it's
a
like
neat
soft,
little pile.
Wet poo. It's
yeah, yeah.
Disgusting.
This facial expression too is kind of like, yeah. What of it?
I would recommend everybody look at the zoomed in version and just trust
yeah,
that Teresa
yourself.
Has done the work for you in describing that, because the zoomed out version is ugly.
What was the quote that you said when the guy cut the picture?
Yeah, in the article it says, so the photographer goes, there's a red light which goes on before the camera's flash goes off, and he saw that and looked at me as the photograph was taken. Then he just said, hello.
Hello?
That's what he's
is
staring
there somebody
at.
Somebody there?
Right. Yeah, like, me, and I'm taking a picture
like,
of you.
Literally, the cliche, caught with your pants down, needs to be retired, because this dude is just the most caught anyone's ever been. He's just looking over to the side.
What's with the poo jogging, though? You know
so
what I mean?
This is a thing that is happening. In the very early days of the Daily Zeitgeist, we reported a story from a Colorado neighborhood where a specific family was having somebody shit in their yard like every day.
Yeah.
And they finally, you know, got the person on camera, and it was a woman. I don't think they ever caught her though. It was just a, you know, a woman dressed in jogging gear.
Well, the jogging loosens the bowels, so
it's true,
right? Because it's like when you look, because I just googled poop while jogging, and the first article is like, why does running make you poop?
Yeah, no, because I mean it's a lot of bouncing up and down. The contents of your stomach are gonna get like kind of pushed down, and
yeah, it's
especially
like, it's like
when
making
you're
a,
new to it,
making a milkshake, like they're just
yeah
jogging.
Yeah, or carrying a milkshake in a paper bag.
Yeah.
And yeah, especially when you're first training for a marathon, they even have a name for it. It's called the trots. And
yeah, because there's countless articles from like running magazines or publications that are just like, yo, avoid the mid-run poops or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think this
maybe he's training.
The training for me.
That's still not okay. I don't care. I don't give a shit. You do not
do it on
a sidewalk.
Sure. But I guess there's two versions, right? Someone is just a sloppy, disgusting person with no regard for anyone else and is just pooping because they have to run. And like they're doing, like, you know, they're just so.
Because they have the runs.
They don't know what to do, but they always keep the toilet paper on them, clearly, as this man did. Or it's like a really evil person who is getting off on taking a shit. Like out there in the streets,
or those, sick, like, you know, they have like a weird kink that like made them like to poop where people can see it and like leave it there.
Do you
for
think
whatever reason?
I'm just trying to put him.
Could
in
there
a
be a world where he's so embarrassed about pooping indoors that he has to go outdoors?
Oh
wow!
I actually like that he's like been shamed about defecating since he was a child or something.
Yeah.
Something like went off in his brain and he like feels
he can
bad
only
about
poop.
It. Because we were talking, I think, in the office that we all know different people with really strange pooping rituals.
Yes,
like I know somebody who has never pooped and not taking a shower immediately after, so yep. Obviously he always has
and
to
I know
poop
someone like, who has to keep the shower on while
right.
They
oh,
poop
wow.
I know someone who puts a towel over their lap as they poop. I know someone who gets butt naked.
Yeah, my brother used to take off all his clothes before
not even
pooped.
Jewelry
oh wow,
like he would take his earrings out and like
that's,
anything
that's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot of work.
Or he would take out his one dangle earring.
Uh-huh.
He'd wear a cross dangle earring
hanging on the hook behind the door.
Yeah.
I remember high school though, because he used to do that, we stole his clothes. From underneath the, because he would put it over the stall.
How did you find that out?
I mean, because we just knew, because we're like, yo, why is your fucking school uniform draped over the fucking thing? He's like, yo, I gotta be
oh,
naked.
Oh, you did it in
poop.
Public too?
Yeah, and you know, we're evil kids, so.
Yeah.
Sorry, bruh. I won't name your name.
And then there's also
it was Chad.
Yeah, well, obviously it was Chad.
Like, do you think there's a group of these people who, like, is like a community, like the way furries are, where they talk to each other, or do you think it's like a lone wolf kind of?
No, I think
poop,
it's
go
our,
poop on your own.
I think there's definitely an R public pooping.
Oh, like a subreddit for
subreddit.
It? Yeah, maybe R trots.
And
R
they
trots,
share.
Yeah.
You sort of share where the best poop places are.
Oh yeah, or like what's your like? How do you do it? How do you get clean right after, real quick? I don't have a lot of time.
And
I don't know.
Yeah. And now for my recurring segment, what would Andy Rooney say about this? He'd be like, it's this damn on-demand culture. Everybody thinks that they can just do it wherever they want. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.